Welcome to Bonus Bites, a special mini-episode of the Triple D Podcast. These bite-sized episodes are packed with information about disability benefits, disability news, and answers to your burning questions. Get ready to take a bite of what's going on this week. Here's your host, Michael Weiner.
Well, welcome to another episode of Bonus Bites. And we are recording today on, this is Tuesday, so again, bringing you the very latest information. You actually sent me a story last night, Michael, that we're going to be talking about in our headlines today.
We're keeping this content fresh, Katie.
We're trying to keep it fresh, bringing the latest news. What's been going on with you this week? How's everything been going?
You know, this was a busy week of following children around soccer tournaments. So work being my escape, I am very happy to be back in the saddle here with you today and giving people the latest in Social Security news.
All right. Awesome. Well, then let's jump right into headlines. So the first one, this is actually the one you sent me just last night. This was an email from the SSA, Social Security Administration, and it says the Biden-Harris administration released the president's budget for fiscal year 2025 for the Social Security Administration. So tell me what this said and what we can expect for the next year.
Yeah. So at this point, it's a proposed budget for Social Security, which came directly from the White House. What it is basically a, you know, this is an annual thing where the government says how much money they're going to spend on different things. Of course, this then has to be approved by, you know, the Congress. However, there's some important changes and updates in it. First of all, the amount of money. And we're not talking about the amount of money that's going to be delved out to beneficiaries. That amount of money is in the hundreds of billions of dollars. But Social Security has specifically requested $15 billion, which is about a 9% increase over last year, which will allow them to continue to expand their services and really do more work and better work. You know, there were some big changes that happened to Social Security last year, namely the administration lost many employees, which was shocking to me because, and it's been a progression over a number of years, but there's always a fear that if Social Security does not get increased funding, they won't be able to replace the employees that they've lost, which creates a problem when we talk about things like customer service. And, you know, Social Security, the new commissioner has made it a priority to reduce the amount of wait times, both when you're in the Social Security office to get help, but also really important on the phone. I mean, we've talked about how it takes an average of about half an hour longer to get Social Security on the phone when you call. Their goal with an improved budget is to get it down to about a 20-minute hold time. So imagine that being a goal, only make people have to wait an average about 20 minutes. Social Security has requested more money than in the past so that they can replace the employees that they've lost, increase the number of services that they can have to make it so people don't have to wait as long when dealing with Social Security, and also just improve their IT. Because, you know, this is something that I notice every day. Social Security is working with really outdated software, outdated equipment, which is kind of ironic when we're talking about a government agency that has, you know, billions of dollars to throw at problems. They need to update what they're working with. So I personally really hope that we see this budget get passed. Of course, that's something that's not a bipartisan issue, and we'll kind of talk about that in a few minutes with another one of our headlines. But it is big news whenever the White House puts out its proposed budget.
Absolutely. Why don't we just skip ahead to that headline then? Just kind of go right into it. So this is one that is from thehill.com, and this is Trump on Social Security and Medicare cuts. Quote, there is a lot you can do. So do you think there's a lot you can do?
That remains to be seen. I mean, you know, so just to kind of give everybody a bit of the backstory, you know, the one article was on the Hill, but really what happened yesterday, former President Trump goes on to CNBC's Squawk Box, and the interviewer from CNBC said, you know, one area where it seems like there isn't much divergence between, you know, the Democrats and the Republicans is the, you know, is when it comes to entitlements, which, by the way, the word entitlements, when we talked about this on our TikTok channel, raised a lot of questions. And I think we'll spend some time talking about that this week. But, you know, President Trump responded to the interviewer and said, basically, that he disagreed, that he does see a lot of divergence between the left and the right and how to deal with Social Security, and said more or less that there's a lot of waste in the program. And he believes that there are things that can be done to cut out that waste, you know, things like overpayments to people, people potentially collecting benefits who shouldn't be receiving benefits. And so, you know, then of course, right after President, former President Trump goes on CNBC and says this, President Biden got on X, the, you know, formerly known as Twitter. I always feel like we need to clarify that, and said, not on my watch, basically saying he won't approve of anything that cuts benefits to beneficiaries. So, you know, it's just interesting to see how that kind of back and forth is already playing out as we gear up for the election in November. But, you know, kind of going back to the budget that we were talking about earlier, you know, they are looking at ways that they can reduce waste in the system. And you know, I, for one, I'm in favor of waste, as long as that waste doesn't come on the heels of taking benefits away from people who need it. Because even just preserving disability benefits it's expensive and it's challenging for people to just receive the ongoing care that they need to meet Social Security standard of proof. But, you know, it'll be really interesting to see how Social Security gets positioned as a topic of interest in the upcoming election. But, you know, especially from the last 24 hours and things that I've seen going back even further, it does seem like Social Security is going to be a buzzing topic. So, but that was our headline, the quarreling yesterday between President Biden and former President Trump.
That's right. And of course, you know, we'll be keeping everyone up to date on anything else that develops with that or anything else as far as it pertains to Social Security disability benefits here on the podcast and also on TikTok. We kind of do those up to minute updates. So if we see a headline, we like to throw something up so that we can educate everyone about it. So if you're not following us on there, go ahead and follow at Backwards Hat Barrister on TikTok. We're also on Instagram. Just a wealth of information there. Yeah. So thought I'd give that a little plug as well. So we were talking about overpayments, and that's kind of what our next headline is about. And this was from Nosker. And the headline is SSA issues new emergency message about overpayment waivers. So break this one down.
So this is something that comes up a lot, where Social Security will overpay people who, for one reason or another, did not maintain their eligibility to receive any type of benefit. It's not just a disability problem. Sometimes it's, you know, receiving widow's benefits or even a family that was receiving a retirement check. They notify Social Security about a death, yet they continue to receive a check in the mail every month. Now, there's always been two prongs to the Social Security test for whether or not, when people oftentimes request a waiver of an overpayment. The first prong is the person has to be without fault, right? So you can't knowingly keep information from Social Security just to keep cashing checks and then request that they waive the overpayment later. And second, recovery would either defeat the purpose of the act or be against equity and good conscience, right? So basically, that's fancy language for saying if Social Security were to recover, you know, they don't want Americans to be crippled when they did nothing wrong. They don't, you know, an overpayment isn't their fault. Now, we've got to go back in history because, you know, beginning in March of 2020, when Social Security started shutting a lot of their offices down during the COVID-19 pandemic, there was chaos when it came to communicating, hey, I'm going back to work to Social Security, or hey, you know, my family member passed away. all these, and what happened was people were trying to do their part in giving Social Security good information. They assumed that maybe Social Security was collecting payroll information or processing it. They weren't, because the agency was kind of at a standstill with many things for a number of years. In fact, they explicitly stopped trying to collect on overpayments. That was one of the services that was basically put, or one of the things that they're supposed to be doing that was put on hold for much of the COVID-19 pandemic. But then because they stopped making efforts to collect that money, people kept getting paid who weren't supposed to be paid. And so this new emergency message basically comes out and says, you need to consider the circumstances related to the COVID-19 pandemic when an overpaid individual alleges that something that the agency did prevented them from reporting their changes. So that's kind of a big deal to a lot of people who are staring at $50,000, $60,000 overpayments now when they did everything that they were supposed to do. And hopefully, you know, those will be scaled back for many people. So that's exciting to see.
Absolutely. And then our final headline for today, it also comes from the Social Security Administration. And this is one that we actually did talk about on TikTok. Social Security extends disability determination time. So tell me what this means and how big that extension is.
Yeah. And I think everything kind of fits together today with what we were talking about earlier as far as the budget, because you know, one thing that we've spoken about on here a lot on TikTok is just it takes forever to get a Social Security disability claim approved. Myself, all disability, you know, representatives who are helping people apply for disability around the country received an email that came from the administration last week, basically saying that in their communications to us as representatives, but also to clients, they're going to be revising how long they tell people the expected wait time for benefits will be. You know, in previous communication that would go out from Social Security, it would basically say that, you know, an initial application would take somewhere in the realm of 4 to 6 months in order for them to process the application and give people an answer. Now they're requesting about 220 to 270 days. So what it's an indication of is Social Security realizing that they've been miscommunicating how slow this process is to people, and increasing several months to how long they tell people to expect it's going to be. Now, this goes hand in hand with some of what we've talked about. There's many states where right now that wait time is actually more than a year. But even just revising it to be 7 to 9 months is kind of a big deal. And I'm sure that that's one of the things that the administration is thinking about when they request more money in this budget for the upcoming fiscal year than they did in previous years. Because these wait times creeping up, it's crippling to people who need this money. They need to, you know, keep a roof over their heads. This is a tough conversation that I have with clients every single day. So hopefully the realization that, you know, Social Security is even having to increase the wait time that they're communicating to people will make, you know, Congress say, you know, we need to pass a budget to improve our services for people.
Absolutely. I have a follow-up question for that. Was the wait time already taking that long? They just weren't saying it should take that long?
Absolutely.
So it was already, it's just kind of a revision of the language, essentially.
You know, here in Ohio where we live, and, you know, now obviously we practice all across the country, but here in Ohio, Social Security, our local services are pretty decent. I mean, normally 4 to 6 months is roughly an average wait time for an answer. There's cases that go quicker and there's cases that take longer. An average is just, you know, it's the sum of outliers. But in other parts of the country, it's been taking much longer than it does here. So it is a big step just because it changes how I communicate with my client. It certainly creates a problem for me when I'm telling a client in Wisconsin or Maryland, states where it takes a year for Social Security to make a decision. Hey, just so you know, it'll probably take Social Security a year to get back to you. And they come back to me and say, I just got communication from Social Security that says it's going to be 4 to 6 months. So now they look at me like I'm lying to them, or I'm trying to slow down the process. You know, it's still not perfect. Social Security still needs to give people, maybe break it down more regionally where they're telling people in individual states how long it is. And this is publicly available information that I think we do a good job of disseminating. But, you know, it's a step in the right direction, but really the big step in the right direction would be reducing the backlog and making it so people don't have to wait a year or 9 months or even 4 to 6 months to get an answer when this is money they need today.
So now we want to move on to our next segment, which is our listener questions. We always like to pull these from our TikTok, also from our website. If you want to submit one, you can visit our website, linerlegal.com, click on community in the Triple D podcast, and it's a really simple form people can fill out. So our first one actually comes from TikTok, and the question is money deducted from SSI or are you ineligible for SSI if you get financial help from family while waiting for benefit approval?
The answer is yes. And, you know, a lot of it depends on what help they are giving. Something that I see pretty often is people who are applying for SSI benefits who, you know, that maybe they've got a generous family member that's giving them $1,500 per month to pay their basic living expenses while they're waiting on SSI to come through. Now, I want to make sure I'm very clear. We're only talking about SSI here because if somebody has worked and earned the work credits to receive SSD benefits, then assets, help from others does not matter. But when we're talking about SSI, which is a disability benefit that is based on having limited income and resources available, when somebody is getting money from a family member, unearned income, that really, it's held dollar for dollar against that SSI amount. And if Social Security is able to catch on to that, perhaps because it's money that gets deposited into a bank account, that can really create a dilemma and a problem for the person later on when Social Security goes to calculate the back pay and they're deducting that $1,500 a month from the $943 max that the person was receiving to begin with, and it wipes it all out. Now, we've been talking the last few weeks, updates that have come from Social Security and how if you're living in a house with other people and your rent is paid for because you're living there with other people, or you're living in a house with other people and you're just taking food in the house, Social Security has historically deducted about a third of your SSI monthly check to say this is, you don't need all the money that we would pay you because you're getting free food and free shelter. Now they're going to be removing those. But if you're taking cash or you're taking, just gifts from other people to pay your bills while applying for SSI, while receiving SSI, it can zero out what you would actually receive. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And moving on to our next listener question, this was submitted on our website. How long do I have to be living in a location before filing for disability benefits?
The answer is one day. And this is something that comes up a lot because, we have clients who move all over the country. Makes sense. When people are out of work and they don't have the income that they need to provide for themselves, a lot of times they have to move where it's cheaper, move with family, which may mean moving out of the area where they applied for disability benefits. But as soon as you move, you establish residency in a new location, you can go into the Social Security office, update your address, and they will treat you like you have been living there as long as anybody else.
Okay. Pretty simple answer there. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that is all that we have for Bonus Bites for this week. A lot of really good information, a lot of, news that's going to be coming in. And again, if anyone does have any questions, make sure that you follow us on our TikTok at Backwards Hat Barrister or submit those on the website, linerlegal.com. Before we go, I want to chat about our episode that's coming out next week. So you had a conversation with Nikki Johnson from the Epilepsy Association. This was a super interesting conversation.
Yeah. So, I don't know if we've talked about it on Bonus Bites. It's definitely come out in other platforms, but not many people know that when I was a child, I had epilepsy. So it's something that's near and dear to me, epilepsy awareness. And this month, one of the things I was talking about with Nikki was Purple Day, which is a day where it's not a fundraiser. It's just to raise awareness about epilepsy. And really what we talked about that was fascinating to hear was just so many of the misconceptions that people have about epilepsy. One, how common it is, but two, how to respond to seizures. So I hope the people tune in. It was a great conversation. They're a great partner, the Epilepsy Association. It was really a treat to be able to have them join us on the podcast.
All right. And that's going to be coming out next Thursday, March 21st. Thank you to everyone for listening, and we'll see you next week.
See you then, Katie.
Thanks for listening to Bonus Bites, a mini episode of the Triple D podcast. Rate, review, and subscribe, and tune in next week for more disability news and headlines.